We're thankful for the opportunity to come to you with a second lesson on restoring the kingdom. We are in Acts chapter 1 and verse number 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? They had a completely wrong idea about the kingdom. And you can't really blame them. We do too. The majority of religion in our day has no idea at all, no rightful idea at all about the kingdom of God. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 26. This was their Bible. They didn't have the New Testament. They were going to live out the New Testament. Isaiah 1 and verse 26, we find the word restore. And I will restore thy judges as at the first, and thy counselors as at the beginning. Afterward thou shalt be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. Zion shall be redeemed with judgment, and her converts with righteousness. That's Isaiah chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. Then if you go to the book of Daniel, chapter 7 and verse 29. These were the scriptures. Excuse me, verse 27. There is no verse 29. Daniel 7, verse 27. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. They read verses like that, and they took them literal. So will thou again at this time restore a physical, literal kingdom to physical, literal Israel and let us rule the world? Jesus said, you don't know what you're talking about. Let me tell you what you're supposed to be doing. And he told them that they would receive power after that the Holy Ghost had come upon them, and they would be witnesses, not gathering people into Jerusalem for them to be Lord over, but for you to go out and be servants to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So that's what they saw. And Peter, having received the Holy Spirit, as we tried to show you this morning, in the first lesson, in Acts chapter 2, he began to unravel that thing as the Holy Spirit showed it to him, and we saw that they got straight on it in concerning their doctrine at that particular time. Now, it is a very knowledgeable and knowledgeable instruction of Jesus talking to Nicodemus. And what did he say to him? Nicodemus had his mind on miracles. We know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And again, Jesus just goes from that conversation and that concept straight to the spiritual concept of the kingdom of God. Verse 3. Jesus answered. This is his answer to, we know that you're a teacher come from God. He didn't know that he was God come to teach. He just thought he was a teacher come from God. And what was Jesus' answer? And said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That was his answer. They asked, Lord, will you restore the kingdom to Israel at this time? Jesus answered and said, when the Spirit of God's come, you're going to be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the othermost part of the earth. That was his answer. You say, well, that wasn't a really appropriate answer. Yes, it was. It was the only answer he could give because the answer was inappropriate. It was the question was inappropriate. God wasn't going to restore some half-baked kingdom that didn't work good for them to start with. They sinned against God. The kings were horrible people. Some of them were good, but the kingdom wasn't all that perfect. And they wanted to restore it. God said, no, we're not going to do it on the physical, literal kingdom and kings like you had. We're going to do it on the spiritual. It's literally spiritual. And the king is Jesus Christ, and he's going to rule and reign in it. And I think, amen. I'm glad you did that, Lord. And the same way with Nicodemus. We know that the order teacher come from God because no man can do these miracles. And Jesus said, you know what you need to do? You need to be born again. Why? Because in verse 3, you cannot see the kingdom of God without being born again. Then Nicodemus goes right back to the literal, to the physical. How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, which was the dumbest thing you ever heard a smart man like him say. There are some very, very intelligent people in this world that are so blind when it comes to spiritual understanding. It's unbelievable that they can be that dumb. And Jesus answered in verse 5, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. You can't enter it, much less you can't even see it. It takes a spiritual birth to see the spiritual kingdom. So it's no wonder that we have so much ignorance concerning the kingdom of God, because we have so many unconverted church members. One of the greatest fields of evangelism I have found in all the years of my preaching is the unconverted church members. Isn't that something? Marvel not. Listen, he says in verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. It's being flesh. That's what it was born as. So if you want to see the spirit, spiritual, you must be born of the Spirit. For that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind blows where it wills. Thou hearest the sound thereof, and you can't tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit. And this goes with that verse where we read you, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. I can see the effect of the wind, but I can't see the wind. I can look at the meteorologists, and boy, that's a word to say, isn't it? Picture of the swirling clouds and say, well, that's a tornado or whatever. But you're seeing the swirl of the clouds and so forth, but to see the wind itself is impossible. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. And he says, how can these things be? And this is a question we need to ask and hold our leaders, spiritual leaders, religious leaders to the fire, hold their feet to the fire on this. Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel and knoweth not these things? Has it ever dawned on you that Jesus said, you've got the Old Testament. It's completed. And you should know the things of the spiritual birth. We think that we can't know anything about the spiritual birth until the New Testament was written. Jesus was holding this man accountable. Are you a master, a rabbi in Israel, and you don't know about the spiritual birth? I'm astounded that you don't know any more than you do. You think you've got to get back into your mother's body. How are you going to do that? That's the dumbest thing I ever heard. And you're supposed to be a master in Israel. And he said, I hold you accountable for knowing these things because you've got the scriptures. Well, that was just Genesis through Malachi. But evidently there was enough in there for Jesus to hold him accountable and say, you should be able to understand and perceive the spiritual realm of the kingdom. My soul, what a mess. Look at Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. In verse 15. Mark 10:15. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. Takes a birth. You say, I can't birth myself. Absolutely. Then cast yourself upon the Lord. Cry out to God. If all these spiritual things you're ignorant of and you have no knowledge of, this old, then it's telling you that you need to be born again. And to do that, you need to cry out to God for God to help you. Now, how do you know if you are born again? Matthew chapter 4. There are those characteristics that are evidences of grace. Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 12. Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the seacoast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which have sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's not going to be restored. Here it is. When John the Baptist died, and he was the greatest in the kingdom, he was the greatest born of woman. But then when the first one was born of the Spirit, that little one born of this kingdom and of the Spirit was greater than John the Baptist. So when John the Baptist died, that was a termination of the old. And what do you have? Jesus coming forth preaching, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. How do you know that? Because that was the king saying it. He was the king, dear soul, that was saying it. Chapter 5, verse number 3. Characteristics of the kingdom. Hearing the Lord Jesus Christ preach, coming out of darkness into light, having those things happen to you. Listen, Matthew 5, verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Are you still arrogant, self-centered? Or are you humbled? Has God shown you yourself? And have you seen yourself as God sees you? Then you're poor in spirit. You're humbled in spirit. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Do you have the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ preaching to you? Do you have an humble spirit and realize that everything that God says about me is true? And will you stand with God, opposed to yourself, and look at yourself and say, what he's saying about us is right? And I need to repent. Listen, blessed are those who are poor in spirit. Listen, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. God said that. Verse number 10, Matthew 5. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. People are not just mad at you because you're aggravating and mean. They are aggravated at you because you have a righteousness that they don't have. We're not talking about morality. We're talking about righteousness. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Verse number 19, Matthew 5. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. Do you want to keep the word of God? And do you, by your witness, encourage others to do so? But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Have you heard Christ preach to your heart? Have you had the light of the glory of God shine into your soul? therefore you have become humble and meek, and then, dear soul, you do and teach those things that God has taught you to do. Not only do you believe them, but you help others to see these things too. Then you are involved in the kingdom of heaven. Do you see these things? Listen, verse number 20. For I say unto you, except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Think about it. The scribes and Pharisees, you're talking about legal. Man, I'm telling you what, they strained a net and swallowed a camel. They wouldn't walk down the road or walk across a man's yard pulling a chain on the Sabbath day, because that chain would knock up the seed from the grass or whatever it was, and they think they're going to go to hell for laboring on and sowing and planting on the Sabbath day. That's really strict. Yeah, they were strict. They would stone you to death in a minute if they thought you were breaking one of their tiny little rules. Whether it was God's law or not, if they had that rule, you better be careful. And Jesus said, your righteousness has got to exceed that. How in the world can us old immoral sinners even compare to the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, much less exceed and excel their righteousness? By one way, he that is in you is greater than he that's in the world. Let me say it right. He that is in you is greater than he that's in the world. Religion cannot touch the shoes. They cannot come up to the top of the shoes in their righteousness compared to a true born-again child of God. That's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11. Let's see if I can find it. Matthew chapter 11, verse 11 and 12, I think it is. I think I've already quoted it. Let's see. Matthew 11, 11. Verily, verily, I say unto you, among them that are born of women, not born of the Spirit, born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. After the Holy Spirit came, there were people that were striving to enter in. It was like chaos as they pressed to get into the kingdom of God, because the light had come through the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. They began to see how lacking they were, and that it didn't matter about the morality of the scribes and Pharisees. It mattered about the righteousness of God. And the righteousness of God is infused into you by grace. For God hath made him to be sin for us. For he, God the Father, hath made him, Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, in order that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. My sin had to be imputed, had to be deposited, had to be given to Jesus' account, so that his righteousness, which is the righteousness of God himself, should be my righteousness. And dear soul, let me tell you this, and you don't believe this, you won't believe it. You'll say, oh, that can't be. If it can't be, then we're all going to hell. But if you are born again, the righteousness that is within you is every bit as pure and glorious and good as the righteousness that's in the breast of Jesus of Nazareth on the throne right now. Oh, you can't say that. I don't feel that. I didn't ask you what you felt. I asked you, what did God do? Did God give you some leftover, half-baked, rotted, rusty old righteousness, or did God impute to you the righteousness of God? That verse says, God imputed to Christ your sin, my sin, that his righteousness might be imputed to me, which is, and to us, which is the righteousness of God. God don't have one righteousness. You either got God's righteousness or you're lost. This thing is so far different. Well, you know, we don't smoke and we don't chew and we don't go with the ones that do. Well, good for you. You can all go to hell together if that's all you got. It's not morality. You won't be immoral, but it's righteousness. And that's a heavenly thing. That's a spiritual thing. And again, my words are spirit and they are life. It has to be that which God imputes to us, not what religion says we are. Well, I really like going to church because them people, you know, made me feel good about myself. And that preacher, every time he preaches, he makes me feel bad about myself. You better be glad somebody makes you feel bad about yourself, because, dear soul, that's where that humility comes. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Until you wrestle with your corruption, until I wrestled with my corruption and saw that what God said and what God's Bible said was true. Yes, I was a fine little Sunday school boy. Yes, I went to church and did everything I was supposed to do, and yet I found out I was rotten to the core because it wasn't what I did for Jesus. It was what Jesus did for me. I'm not going to be able to stand before God and say, well, look what I have done. Stuck in his thumb and pulled out a plum and said, oh, what a good boy am I. No. My only entrance into God's kingdom is by the blood of the Lamb of God, who was made sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. How did it happen? I don't know. I didn't grow an inch. I didn't, I didn't get a dime richer. There was no evidence of physical, is what I'm trying to say. But I knew everything had turned to something brand new. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Everything was different. Old things had passed away. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Listen. Verse 14, for the love of Christ constraineth us. Man, if you know Christ loves you, you don't want to do anything against it. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we were all dead. And that's dead in trespasses and sins, friend. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth, from this point on, they should not from this point on live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, from the time of our regeneration, know we no man after the flesh. You don't need to go up to a brother and say, who's your mom and daddy? Where'd you come from? What kind of job you got? Tell me something about your... We don't know each other by the flesh. We're not acquainted with one another by what is our street address and what kind of car we drive, what kind of clothes we wear. After the new birth has come in and Christ has come in and brought the kingdom in, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Listen, listen, listen. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, and we didn't because we wasn't there when he walked on the earth. I didn't see him walking by the Sea of Galilee. I didn't hear him talk about the fish and the loaves and so forth. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Well, I'd like to be in there and know Jesus. Dear soul, listen, there's a lot of people that were there and knew Jesus, died and went to hell, that turned and apostatized on him. but not a single one of God's people that have been born of the Spirit has ever done so, because they don't know Christ like they know their uncle or their granddaddy or Buffalo Bill or whoever it may be. They know him by the Spirit. They're eating his flesh and drinking his blood, and they know what that means. There's no doubt in their mind that they are completely sustained by the being and the person of Jesus Christ. John, what, 15, 19? Something 19. Because I live, ye shall live also. Because I'm the vine and you're the branches. And you don't look out across a vineyard and say, look, there's a vine, there's a branch. You say, look, there's a vineyard. It's known in its continuity. And it's by him that we are known. Thank God for Jesus Christ. Bless his holy name. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a brand new creation. Listen, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Will thou again restore the kingdom of Israel? You're going to receive the Holy Spirit, then you'll understand. No sense talking to you until you get the Holy Spirit, and he'll bring you a spiritual mindedness, and you'll begin to understand that you shall be witnesses of me. That's the focus of the true Christian church. It's not kingdom, physical, literal, earthly. It's spiritual. And dear soul, there's precious little of it in America anymore. They go for everything in the world except the spiritual kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. They'll promote anything that has to do with glorifying of man, building bigger buildings and having all kinds of stuff going on in the name of religion. And God's going to burn all that mess up. And the true church will be seen to be God's pure and holy people that he has preserved down through the ages. Preaching opened up this understanding. Jesus said, no, it's not restoring the kingdom at this time. It's you receiving the Holy Spirit and going out to be witnesses of me. And we read in Matthew 4 how that Jesus preached the kingdom of God is at hand, and that's when the light sprang forth. And listen, it's the way the preaching continues to bring forth the kingdom. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 19, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. I'm going to destroy man's physical, natural ability to show how great he is by getting up there in that pulpit and saying words and coming up with theory that shows what a great intellectual person you are. I'm going to destroy all that. That's not how I'm going to work in my kingdom. Where is the wise? Show him to me. Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by its wisdom, by its own philosophy, knew not God. Then it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save the ones believing. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Not the preaching of foolishness. Why does he call it the foolishness of preaching? Because that's the way man looks at it. How in the world is a man born again by another man preaching the word of God to him. I don't know how the Spirit moved, convincing men of sin. But I know he does. And I've seen it happen. I've experienced it happen. You can't see it literally. Okay, listen. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than man. So you can see your calling, brethren. Look among those that you truly know are born again. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many, not doesn't say not any, but not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. And dear soul, that's how he can say in the old economy, among those born of women, the greatest man from Adam all the way down to John the Baptist, the greatest man that's ever born of woman in that age was John the Baptist. But he said, but I'm not through talking about that. But he that is the least in the kingdom is greater than he. John the Baptist was one, quote, born of woman. But the least in the kingdom was born of the Spirit. All things new. So the whole concept of the kingdom was absolutely replaced. And the question that they asked, will thou again restore the kingdom to Israel, was not even answered in a way that you think has to do with an intelligent response. Just like Nicodemus. We know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. You must be born again. That ain't no adequate intelligent response. Yes, it is. The problem was not the answer. The problem was the question. The problem is not Jesus saying you'll receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you and you shall be witnesses. The problem was they didn't know what to ask. They still wanted an Israeli world power. And so is Satan wanting to cause so many people, dictators and so forth, raise up to try to rule over other people and put them under their authority. And they ain't no more of God than third base. You must be born again. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are the meek. These things are the kingdom of God, and most people don't know it when they look at it. Isn't that amazing? Jesus said in Revelation 21:5, the book of the Revelation, chapter 21, and verse 5, and he that sat upon the throne. You got that? There ain't nobody higher than that. That's the Lord Jesus Christ sitting down at the right hand of the majesty on high. He that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. You got to get rid of your stinking thinking. You can't come up with questions like, will thou again restore the kingdom unto Israel? No, that's not what it's about. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servant fight? And Jesus said just flat out, you can read it, it's just there in your Bible, my kingdom is not of this world. It says it. It's not located by longitude and latitude. What did he say? Longitude and latitude. It's not, you can't put your finger on the map and say, lo, here's the kingdom, or lo, there's the kingdom. The kingdom of God comes without observation. The kingdom of God is within you. It's a spiritual kingdom. You must be born again. That's why I answered the apostles according to truth. You need to be witnesses of me and bring forth the kingdom of God. If you're going to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, then you're going to have to be transformed by the renewing of your mind and get involved into the spirituality of the invisible kingdom so that Christ may bring forth his great kingdom by the Holy Spirit. In the book of the Revelation, there was the great warrior sitting on the white horse. That was the Lord Jesus Christ going forth, conquering and to conquer. That was by regenerating grace. And if you'll study those other three horsemen, you'll find out that they worked against those who did not bow to the white horse rider. There was the red horse rider, which has been seen so evident among us as disrupting human fellowship, setting one against the other and scattering. There was the black horse rider, bring forth, I can't think of the word, when you don't have nothing to eat, plagues and famine, thank you. And there's all the riders that were of the other three. They worked against everybody that did not bow and see and yield to the white horse rider, the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, I stumbled through all that, didn't I? Dear soul, the reason that we have such chaos in our nation is because we have determined that we shall promote the physical and the literal and have nothing to do with Jesus Christ in the spiritual. What a mess. What a mess. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, John, the guy writing this book, and he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. That's the way that it is. Now, let me read you something to finish up. Matthew chapter 21. You've got to hear this. If there ever was an answer to their question, will thou again restore the kingdom unto Israel? Go with me to Matthew 21. And we could read a lot of scripture, but let's just get on down to the brass tacks. And verse number 43. Well, it starts with therefore, so I've got to go back and read why for, what for, therefore. Verse 42, Matthew 21, 42. Jesus saith unto them, did you never read in the scriptures the stone which the builders rejected? The same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. The very stone that was going to establish and set the precedent for the entirety of the New Testament church, and I'm talking about born-again believers, not denominations. Listen, it's been rejected. The one that God came to build, sent to build everything upon him, You threw out. Therefore, because you did that, and he's speaking to Israel, Matthew 21, 43, therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you, Israel, and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. What did he mean? He meant what he said. This is the end of Israel. I came, the very being of God incarnate came. You changed him into Santa Claus and a reindeer with a headlight for a nose, and a pile of snow that when you put a magic hat on his head, he became a human being. You changed that which was beautiful and precious, the incarnation of God. Great is the mystery of godliness, God manifest in the flesh. But you wouldn't have it. So I'm going to take the kingdom from you and give it to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. Matthew 21:43. All right. What nation is that? I'll be glad to show you. And I'm glad you asked that question. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. And here again, you're going to have to think in the Spirit. Think in the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. When I said a nation, we're not going to go and say, well, this is that nation, you know, Germany or Russia or America or whatever nation. No, that's not what we're talking about. Listen, 1 Peter chapter 2, and it says in verse 6, wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious. That's Christ. And he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the same which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. They threw it out. God said, I'm not throwing it out. It's the head of the corner. But it became to them a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumbled at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye, those that are born again, are a chosen generation, secondly, a royal priesthood, and thirdly, an holy nation. Matthew 21:43, I'm going to take the kingdom, the physical, literal kingdom of Israel, away from them. But I'm going to give it to a nation that'll bring forth the fruits of God. What nation is that? It's God's born-again believers, whom we call collectively the church. But I have to be careful in saying the church today because nobody can understand that the words of the church are talking about all born-again believers. We're not talking about a physical, literal gathering together of physical, literal people in an actual physical, literal building in a physical, literal location. We're talking about the mystical body of Christ. Everybody that's born again in the world, all individuals born again, are the holy nation. I'm going to take it away from Israel. Read your Bible. Get on your knees and cry out to God and ask him to make this message real to you. Get out of all this deception that is ruining our nation, and especially ruining the true church, if that can be said to be so. Listen. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past you were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. That's the nation that he's talking about. Will thou again at this time restore the kingdom unto Israel? I'm not even going to answer that. It's not a proper question. He's never going to restore and bring forth some half-baked kingdom and prop it back up again. He's bringing forth the pure, holy, glorious kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then they would fight, and everybody that has fought in the name of religion are not his servants. That's what he said. He said to Pilate, and he said, I want you Pharisees and scribes, and I want you all you rabbis to understand this. I, God, am going to take the kingdom from you because you would not receive the chief cornerstone, me. What are you going to do with it? I'm going to give it to a nation that will bring forth the fruits thereof. What nation is that? All born-again believers that can be listed under the heading of the church. Yes, he's not going to restore. You know, it's not something that he's going to try to, you know, remake, remodel, reshape. I make all things new. And it's going to be those who are lively stones, Peter said. You make up the church of God. You're a living stone. And you're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Jesus Christ being the true foundation. And and Ephesians says it's a living building and it groweth for a holy habitation of God. That's the kingdom that he is bringing forth. Brand new, not remodeled, not having a makeover. The foundation is new. The superstructure is new. Everything is new about it because it is the living organism of the church of Almighty God. God bless you. I hope these words have helped you. Continue to pray for me. I sincerely and honestly can tell you that I pray for you. And may God help us to grow in grace and the knowledge of God. God bless you.